Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Headed down to the neon lights. It's where I want to be because I'm just trying to make it.
You're listening to the Diamonds in the Rough podcast.
I'm just trying to make it.
Powered by Prospects Live.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Diamonds in the Rough presented by Prospects Live, as you just heard the recording say. And we are excited to get back to you with another episode. It feels like it's been a really long time since we recorded for some reason. I don't really know why that
the
is.
The past two times.
It's the same recording schedule. Yeah. We record every Monday. But it felt like it's been forever. So we're glad to be back. I got a word from our sponsor here at the start of the show. Everybody knows about TurtleBox. TurtleBox is the best speaker in the game. I took mine golfing yesterday. It was awesome. Threw it in the back of the golf cart. Let the music ride. Jason Aldean radio. It's great. Like I said, it's for every function you can think of, whether you got a pool gathering, whether you're at a tailgate, whether you're at the ocean, whether you need a lifeboat. Like we said, it floats. It's waterproof. TurtleBox Audio is where it's at. Go to turtleboxaudio.com and use code DNR to get $30 off your order, any order, and I promise you won't regret it. So, like we said, DNR for $30 off. Tag us, tag them. You're going to love it. All different colors, all different sizes. So that TurtleBox is the real deal. And TurtleBox is getting me excited for football season, just thinking about tailgates. Mm-hmm. I'm itching for it at this point. I guess because I'm not playing baseball right now, I'm even more excited for it because it gives me something I feel like I'm competing in, even though I'm not doing anything. But I've been doing my fair share of fantasy mock drafts. I know you two have too, as fellow NFL fans yourself. Schnelly, how many fantasy leagues are you in?
Three as of now, and potentially a fourth.
Could be more.
Yeah.
Shook, how many do you roll with?
The past couple of years, I've usually been in four. I think this year it's going to dwindle down to two, maybe three.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't see us kickstarting that league from last year. It's kind of dead by the end of the year.
Yeah, it was kind of bad.
Kind of dead, but we're in a different one. So me and Shook are in the same division this year. So we'll have two matchups. Yeah. Two matchups. Divisions are kind of sick in fantasy football. We've had this league for, I guess, I've been in it for 3 years. This is year number four, and rivalries have developed. Needless to say, in the group message, and so this year we were like, screw this. We're putting the rivalries up twice together. So now it's just in a division with like six guys that you talk the most crap to, and you play them twice, which is awesome.
It's kind of sick.
Yeah.
Cole came out with the early season projections.
So I did. Yeah. Well, Shook is Aaron Rodgers. He's the greatest regular season player of all time. And then somehow gets kicked the first round of the playoffs. I don't know what happens, but he
always
ended
up playing Dylan in the second round. Or something.
The kid can't lose in the regular season. He's unbelievable. He has Travis Kelce every single year, and then he fills out the rest of his roster and he wins. So, but speaking on baseball, a little weekend review for the fellas. Schnelly, saw you had a nice game yesterday.
Yeah,
today's Monday, so Sunday.
Yeah, it felt good. Finally,
you got a double.
Yeah, I was going through it there for a bit, but you know, hit the film room.
Made
some adjustments. Got back to being comfortable, and Schnelly went 1-of-7 backside in the gap.
Smacked.
Yeah.
What adjustment was made?
I was just real tense in the box for some reason. I think I was pressing a little bit, and then like The thing about being a hitter is throughout the year, you have to make, like, your swing's always fighting you. Like, it's hard to stay consistent with your swing. I assume pitching's kind of the same. Like, I don't know, maybe not, but like, your swing's always fighting against you. So you have to make small adjustments to be able to, like, stay sharp and stuff. And I think I was doing a little bit too much instead of, like, I was looking too much into it instead of just like they don't need to be big adjustments. It's just like Alec Bregman talks about, like, how he's always making small swing adjustments, but it's nothing like if you watched him hit it, you wouldn't be able to tell. And I think I was trying to make too big of swing adjustments. And I finally got back to doing what I was doing at the beginning of the season when I was playing well and swinging it well. And, I came in at my first at bat, I struck out, and I came in and looked at a couple of the guys and I go, I know I've just struck out, but that's the most comfortable I've been in 3 weeks. And I go, I literally was like, I'm about to go off. Like, I'm going to have myself a good game. And then hit the double RBI double backside. And then I hit a ball 96 or 97 to center at 30 degrees. And it's Charleston. So, you know, he caught it in the middle of the outfield.
Still smack though. All you can do is smack it. Yeah, can't exactly. Control what happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I was definitely not upset about it.
Yeah. Yep. Believe it or not, by the time you're listening to this show, I will have faced hitters for the first time in, I don't know, a long time. It's the longest I've gone without baseball pants on. I haven't put a single pair on. They might not fit anymore. I don't know, but I will be wearing them. We're recording this Monday, so Tuesday. Tomorrow, I will be putting on baseball pants. And I'm going to throw 20 pitches to hitters. So it's going to be an exciting game.
Who are you facing? You know, Paulson?
Nah, no. Yeah, Paulson will be up there. But I could give up 20 barrels. This is super beta of me. And if I walk off the mound healthy, I'm going to be thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, that's just.
There's a guy at the field, one of the trainers, and he's always wagering bets on if you do this, you have to get an ice cream truck for the field for a day. And I told him if I hit 96, I'd get an ice cream truck. And I told Paulson that. He's like, oh, so you're not going to try to hit 96. I said, if I hit 96 my first lob, I will gladly buy an ice cream truck for the field. Bottomless.
Yeah. Get whatever you want.
Run the tab up. Yeah. So hopefully I'm buying ice cream. I was up to 91 in the last bullpen in the lab. And that was after a couple of days off. So we'll see. We'll see if I get a little extra.
You might get like a 4 or 5 in there.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe might pop a 6. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But
let's not try and push it too much, all right?
I'm good to go. I'm a stallion at this point.
All right,
fair. It's healthy. I was supposed to have hitters 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true.
I would be in a game right now.
That's true. That's what I was gonna say. How is the coming back off of COVID been?
It's been fine. That I haven't felt anything. So I was good to go. I mean, I was smacking golf balls during COVID, so I kept active. Speaking of golf, Shelly, you played any recently?
No, the last round I played is when I went with Coop, and he caddied.
No, yeah, actually, so yesterday I put a snowman on number 2, which was crazy. I mean, I went OB twice, and then I ended up with a 45 on the front. So I actually played some serious rally ball.
After. So the swing adjustments are starting to come.
Yeah, they're clicking. They're clicking. Yeah,
that's good.
This was super bad. I mean, this was probably one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done on a golf course. So I finished obviously super hot in the front nine to go from a snowman on 2 to finish with a 45.
Yeah.
Like if I just bogey that hole, I have a very, very respectable score. Like I'm at a 42. Well, I didn't. Well, we turn and I've never played. We're at Heron Creek, which is a very, very nice course down here. And we're on number 10. And it's kind of a hidden fairway. It reminded me of a Chattanooga course. There's hills everywhere. I don't know where they came from in Florida, but there's hills all over the place. I don't like they got to be man-made.
Yeah, they are, I'm sure.
And it's a big hill and then like a disappearing fairway down a hill, par 5. And he's like, if you hit it right over this tree right here, you're going to be in good shape.
Who told you this? Did you guys have a caddy or something?
No, Garrett was there, one of our strength coaches, and a guy he's met playing. And they've played the course before, so they were kind of giving me some strats. So I'm like, all right. And I haven't really – like, I've been hitting decent drives, but they've never been exactly where I wanted them all day. They've been pretty much playable. Well, I absolutely nuked this one right over the tree. I'm like, I'm nasty. It was like probably a 540 hole, and I had 190 left.
So I got into it.
Well, I pull out the 5-iron from 190, smack it on the green and two. So I'm like, dude, I'm rolling. This is the start of the back nine. I bogeyed the hole.
Mm-hmm. Four putt?
I four putted. Mm-hmm. I was on the front of the green, and the hole was in the back of the green. It was like a 45-foot putt, and I might as well putt left-handed if I'm putting long. Like, I can't do it. I have no feel whatsoever.
You bought that son of a gun, huh?
So, well, I thought I did. I left it half short. I went halfway. Part of the reason was the greens on the back had just been punched probably a week ago.
Okay.
So that I do have that to my credit. But then I'm halfway there. I probably got 20 feet left. Putt it, and it speeds up. It goes fast, and it goes tails off to the right. So, and then I actually saved bogey. I hit a pretty nice putt for bogey. It could have very easily been a 5-putt. But that set the tone for the back. It wasn't great after that. I kind of given up. I was defeated. But I was still happy, though, because the 5-iron shot is the best long iron shot I've ever hit in my life. So then that brought me back. But, yeah, just the tragic fall apart on the green.
It's all right. It happens.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you been using the technique that we all – that Coop talked
about? Yeah, no, I put it fairly straight. It's just a matter
of – It works.
It's just distance control is my issue at this point. I did play golf with a couple of PL guys. Shout out Tyler Jennings and Smitty. Some good dudes had a round down here. Had a good time. But this show is going to be a little different than the others. No interview on the back half. We're going to kind of give you all an update on some of the guys who've been on the show. Just a quick rundown. And we've had some good ones. We've had some good seasons. So we figured we'd shout them out. Shook, start us off. Who you got? Who you bringing us?
I'm starting off with probably the best guest we've had to date, and I think that that's debatable, obviously. Adam Wainwright. Adam Wainwright, as you well know, is in fact not retired, what Cole texted Adam whenever he asked him to come on the show. And he's still doing it, you know. Something crazy I found out about Adam Wainwright, and this – I don't know why I was so fascinated about this. He has never had a whip above 1.5 in his career.
That's good.
He had he had a 1.5 whip in 2005 and 2017.
Yeah.
And he has never gone above that threshold there.
In the big leagues for so long.
Yeah. What's crazy is, like, he's had such a good career. Like, obviously, if you pitch this long. What I think is going to get him in the Hall of Fame is his last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's been unbelievable. He got Cy Young votes last year.
Yeah.
He got MVP votes. The dude, like, his last – what? I can't find his dang ERA. I got ERA plus on here. Anyway, here it is. His last, I guess, 3 years, he's gone 315, 305, 3.4. He's just dealing it whatever age he is. He threw 200 innings last year. He's on pace for over 200 this year. Machine, absolute machine. And also the day after pitching old man walk he does on Twitter is elite too. The guy's awesome.
Something else about him is he has a 2.01 ERA at home this year. Potentially the last year he pitches in St. Louis.
Yeah, maybe, who knows?
Way to go out with a bang if it is.
Who freaking knows? Yeah, just you don't want to see him at home, clearly. Shanelli, who you got?
We'll kick it off on my end with we'll go with Bobby Witt to start. Bobby Witt Jr. Was making a case for Rookie of the Year. Obviously, Julio Rodriguez is in the AL and he's going insane, but yes,
any other year Bobby would be.
Bobby wins it. He has 38 extra base hits. He has 14 homers, 19 doubles, and 4 triples, and he has 20 bags, which he's like a home run away from at the All-Star break from being on pace for 30-30 as a rookie.
That's crazy,
and he's still behind Julio Rodriguez. But I mean, all he had to do was go off the second half, and I mean, he's still got a shot to win it.
Well, he went on a tear up before the All-Star break, like the last month.
Yeah,
he was absolutely on fire.
But yesterday he was tagging from second to third and pulled up. I think he has something going on with his hamstring, so hopefully that doesn't keep him sidelined for too long. But yeah, I mean, And every time you go on SportsCenter, he's on there making an insane play.
Yeah.
At shortstop. He's
Can you imagine hitting 30 jacks your rookie year? How sick would that be?
He's already got 20 bags, too. He's going to have 40 bags. He would have been 30-40.
That's crazy. That's so sick. Yeah, Bobby's a man. I'm going to start us off with a guy you actually haven't heard yet, but we're doing the throwback episode this Saturday with Emerson Hancock. One of our first guests of the show of all time. One of my boys, he's turning it on. He started off the year hurt, but he's back with a vengeance. They sent him a double A. And all he's done is pitched to a 2.15 ERA over 46 innings. He's doing it. He pitched in the Futures game not long ago and had just probably the nastiest showing of the Futures game. Punched out three up to 97. He's doing it. He's got a whip of a 1.065. So he this is a fun fact about Emerson. In the last, let's see, at Georgia in 2019, he had a 0.84 whip. It was one of the best seasons I've seen out of a pitcher when I watched Emerson that year in 2019. He threw 90 innings, 1.99 ERA, 0.841 whip. But since then, he has not had a whip above 1.0.
Wow.
In any season or league he's pitched in. Been 1.0 every single time. He just doesn't walk anybody, and that's a good way to keep the whip down. Last year, he walked 17 and 50 innings, and then this year he's walked 15 and 46. So he doesn't put people on base, and when you don't do that and you have really good stuff, you're going to have a low whip because nobody's hitting you. But, yeah, he's going to make a case to make the team, I think. If the Mariners keep winning and he keeps pitching like this, he's got a strong case to do it, which would be sick. So shout out E. We'll do a snake draft. I'll roll back. My next guy is Spencer Strider. Everyone I think that follows baseball understands what this guy's doing. Like he straight up told us.
Or Quadzilla. What do they call him?
Yeah, Quadzilla. Got the stash. Yeah, he's looking the part. He's probably got some sick endorsement deals coming his way with the stash and everything in Atlanta. But he told us on here, he said he wanted to start. And I'm not going to lie, I was like, dude, you're throwing 100 at the bullpen. Like, just be a nasty closer and be the guy. Well, he knew himself way better than I did. And he's now one of the better starters in the big leagues. He has thrown to a 3.03 ERA over 74 innings with a 1.049 whip. I'm not sure how many of those are starter innings, but I would say a large, large majority of them are.
Yeah.
He started 10 games. So, yeah, 10 games.
Braves are going to have an interesting decision to make when Mike Soroka comes back.
I think it's getting less interesting every time Ian Anderson pitches.
That's true. That is true.
Strider's – I think him and Freed are, like, definitely, definitely locked. Him and Kyle Wright and Freed. Those three guys are locked in. Yeah, even if they – like, he's going to be somewhere, you know. Like he can go back to the bullpen. That's what you – in the playoffs, that's going to be a weapon for them. Like, think about – even if he doesn't start, he can be the long man out of the bullpen,
which
he's been there. It's a guy – like, a lot of times you just kind of hope that a starter can do that because it is different. Like, you think about Patrick Corbin in the World Series. Like, he was a big reason they won the World Series. They bring him in the seventh. Or Julio Urias when the Dodgers won. Yeah. Like, you hope a starter can do that, but you don't know for sure most of the time. With him, you know for sure he can do it, which is an absolute weapon. Yeah, if they roll out Soroka, Freed, Kyle Wright, and then Strider out of the bullpen, dangerous team again.
Yeah.
Nice. And they'll actually have Ronald Acuna this year, which they won the World Series without him. Mm-hmm. So, nuts. They get a good team. Good team in Atlanta.
Solid squad.
Oh, yeah, and he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. Pretty easily. Like he might make a case for Cy Young by the end of the year.
Yeah. I feel like the rookies in the AL, like not saying that, I mean, he's had a great year, but the AL rookies are like, there's a lot more like high end AL.
Well, rookies. You think, but
that's a hot take.
In the NL, you got O'Neill Cruz and Michael Harris, who are both
McKenzie Gore,
who put numbers.
Nolan Gorman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Has the shortstop from the Astros cooled off?
Jeremy Pena.
Yeah.
I was thinking like you had him, Bobby Witt.
Julio's like been one of the best players in the league. So that kind of front lines it. But yeah, I saw that the Braves, both Braves players, Strider and Michael Harris, have the top two odds still to win Rookie of the Year, then followed by
Michael Harris is going nuts.
Yeah, he's very good. Very, very good. It's I feel like it's rare for the Braves to call up straight from Double A too. They usually call up from the Stripers in Gwinnett, and they just damn straight up. But yeah, good young talent, as we said on here before. I think you have another young talent to talk about, Schnelly.
Yeah, Alec Thomas. I thought this was impressive. He's got a 1.8 WAR since he's been up.
That's sick.
Pretty good. He's got 7 bombs, hitting .260. And I was just thinking about the Diamondbacks are maybe on to something. Their outfield in the future can be AT, Corbin Carroll, and Drew Jones.
Yep.
I mean, Alec Thomas is probably playing left field in that situation, and he's like an elite center fielder.
Yeah, he had a heck of a day the other day. I saw like 3 highlights of him in the same game.
But he's doing it all.
Does he have any bags?
Yeah, I think I think he had like 4 when I looked. Yeah. But I mean, he has a couple.
Yeah. He's kind of floating under the radar just because he plays in Arizona, but heck of a 260.
Yeah, he's 4 bags.
Scored 30 runs.
Yeah. Yeah, 64 games, 30 runs, 57 hits, 24 ribbies.
What's OPS?
731 OPS. I mean, he's just like a really solid rookie.
Yeah, above league average. Yeah. And he's a rookie. Yeah.
57 hits in 60 games is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's really, really good. Yeah, he's definitely flying under the radar. I've kind of forgotten to check in on him sometimes. Shook, who you got?
All right. I talked about Wainwright earlier, guy that's been in the big leagues for a very long time. This guy has just gotten to the big leagues and is clearly holding his own. That is Reed Detmers. Last 7 games, 2.88 ERA. In the month of July, 2 runs allowed in 17 innings over 3 starts.
He really dealt last start, huh, against the Braves?
Yes, he did. He pitched very well. It was kind of cool. I got to watch. We were eating at Jefferson's for lunch yesterday.
The heck of a spot.
He was. They had him on the TV pitching. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is sick.
And then obviously the no-hitter against the Rays was sick. It was even sicker that he got to break down the final innings for us live on Twitter a couple weeks ago, months ago now. And then, like you said, pitched on Sunday in Atlanta, and they won 9-1. So.
Which was weird. Like, you talk about his last 7 starts. He got sent down in between those, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like the timing's a little weird. I know he had struggled a little bit, a couple outings, but there was like, I feel like he put together 2 really good outings and then got sent down and then came back up and I guess his health, like he's been really good. So maybe it's just like an innings thing where he is pitching his first full season in the bigs and he'll throw way more than he's probably ever thrown. So. I don't know what his outings in AAA looked like. They may have been just as many innings, but I could see him throwing, 4 innings.
Yeah, I think from June 22nd to July 7th, he was down, I think it was. So maybe 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. So. Maybe a little breather. Maybe a quick breather for Rito. Yeah, him breaking it down on Twitter was awesome. Not very often you get to talk to the guy who's thrown a no-hitter and break it down the last couple of innings.
Yeah.
And another Brave, funny enough, new dad as well, Braden Shoemake, we've also had him on the show along with John Doxakis. That was really cool. Like I said, Braden's a new dad. He came back from paternity leave late in the month of June and finished June with a .364 average, went 8-for-22 the last 3 games in June. Something I'm curious to know is whether or not he's stuck. I think we'll find this out here in a couple weeks with the trade deadline and everything. Is he stuck at being a shortstop or are the Braves hoarding him? So I think that's going to be interesting.
If I remember right, he's 2019 draft, so this is a real 5-year. He's not on the 40-man yet, correct?
No, he's not.
So, yeah, this is decision time for him. I could definitely see them packaging him for – they need some bullpen help. They need some – I don't know, maybe another power bat. But – you're right. This will definitely be decision time for the Braves here because he's clearly a big leaguer. If he's doing that in AAA, like obviously he can do it at the next level. So we'll see. I mean, I think I think he's definitely somebody who deserves a shot. So either Dansby the free agent, but he's playing like an MVP, you know. So either they extend him, which I fully believe that they will. I said this about Freeman last year too, though. So who knows? Who knows? But at least they have. I think they're going to lock up Dansby, so I could definitely see them trading Shoemake, which makes a lot of sense for both sides. Mm-hmm. Schnelly, who you got here?
Jared Schuster. He's got a 2.78 ERA. He has got 106 Ks and 90 and two-thirds innings, and his WHIP is a 0.97.
Nasty.
He also made the futures game as well. He threw an inning and a third and had two Ks. I think he gave up a run, but looked good there.
Heck yeah!
So he's doing it right now as well.
Yeah, that was a good interview. If you hadn't seen that one, I played with Jared in Orleans. That's where I met him, and a lot of people didn't really know who he was at the time. But he pitched really, really well there, and so everybody, man, this kid's really good. But his velo wasn't like what it is now. He was like 90, 92 maybe, but he just kind of diced. And then I heard in the fall, I heard through Twitter and some stuff that he was up to like 97 at the fall in Wake Forest. So I don't know what happened in between that time, but he gained some serious velo, and then he kind of carried it into the year and first-round pick. Now he's doing it.
So. Yeah, I think I read something too that people are saying he's probably looking at a call up here soon to AAA. So
yeah,
The Braves just have so much going on right now. Like, do you go get Luis Castillo? Do you go get Andrew Benintendi? When you do that, do you trade Kyle Muller, Tucker Davidson? You know,
yeah.
And with that,
for a while,
the corresponding moves are going to be good for guys like Schuster, Braden Shoemake, like we talked about. So
yep, it's never a bad thing to get traded. If you get traded, you're probably getting even bigger opportunities than you just got, because the team is trading assets for you, and they're giving up an asset that they pay for. So it's especially for guys like that. Shoemake is realist enough to know that they have Ozzie at second and they have Dansby at short. Where is he going to play? And Austin Riley at third. Ain't like they can bump into third. Like, they have one of the best infields in baseball, if not the best infield in baseball. So it's a tough spot to be in, but you know that if you keep playing well, you're going to play somewhere. Somebody's going to pick you up. But yeah, Braves got a lot going on. It was funny because they were talking because they traded a draft pick, which I don't think it was the first one that's been traded, but it was kind of like the headliner because they traded a top prospect in Drew Waters. And people are like, oh, they're doing this for Kumar. Number one, I'm like, he ain't going 20. Like, I promise you that. Number two, it was like, yeah, obviously if he gets there, sure. But the Braves have so much talent at the upper levels of their minors, like the guys we've talked about, and they have even, well, you mentioned them, Davidson, Mueller, like all these guys who can pitch in the big leagues and play in the big leagues. I thought they were going to replenish their high schoolers, which they did. So
I didn't realize.
I said all that to pat mom back, but yeah, they did.
I didn't realize they traded Waters. Who did they trade him to?
He went to the Royals.
Royals for the draft pick, a competitive bounce.
The Andrew Hoffman guy as well that was in that trade is a stud. Like, I don't want to say the Royals won that trade because it's kind of dumb to say that, because, I mean, they got a draft pick that you don't even know what he's going to be.
Yeah, he's a high schooler.
They got a lot of talent in that trade, I think.
So, yeah, for sure.
Good for both sides, I guess.
That's two teams that I feel like operate at a pretty high level between the Royals and the Braves.
Yeah.
So could be a even trade-off when it's all set. Well, I mean, Waters is kind of blocked, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of those things where if you can't play, you might as well get some value out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that he makes his debut this year now.
Yeah.
In the Royals. Especially when Benintendi gets traded, he's probably up.
Yeah.
If you're an outfielder or a shortstop, do not go to the Braves.
They're loaded. They're loaded out there.
Sounds like the Rays.
Yeah. Yeah. So Owen Miller, who we've had on this pod, when I was with the Padres, he was doing just at the alternate side, just raking. I mean, just constant raking. He can play all three positions, serviceable. Like, he's not going to light the world on fire at any of them, but you don't have to worry about him at any spot. And he's raking. He's raked his whole life. And he was just like, dude, I have to get traded. Like, it's non-negotiable at this point. You have Manny Machado signed for the next, at that time, 8 years. Tatis was going to get an extension. We had just traded for Cronenworth, who was an all-star. So there's nowhere to play. And even at first, they had Hosmer. Like, there was nothing he could do. So once he got traded, like, he was happy. He got instant playing time with the Guardians, and now he's on a first place team. It's pretty sick. My last guy that I have is Taj Bradley, who
is the GOAT.
Taj Bradley is officially too good for the minor league baseball. I don't know what the Rays' plan is for him. I genuinely don't. But this guy is too good to be playing minor league baseball. He is – number one, he was in Double A for the first half of the season, pitched well in the Futures game. He's now, I think, a top 10 prospect in baseball, if I'm not wrong. He – it's funny when you pull up on his baseball reference, they don't even have his – you have to click to get it to his minor league stats, which is pretty rare. So maybe they know something I don't know. But in Montgomery, he threw 74 innings, 1.7 ERA, 88 punch-outs and 74, 0.9 whip. Then he just casually goes up to Durham and goes 5 shutout with 8 punches in his debut. So he's if you haven't seen the highlights either, go watch them. Like, I mean, when I throw 5 innings – and I come off the mound, I feel like I've went to war for 5 innings. Taj walks off like he just swam a lap in a pool, like a little courtesy jog around the track. Like, his heart's pumping a little bit, but it ain't – I mean, he ain't sweating that much. He's chilling. When he's throwing, it just looks like he's playing catch. He gets down 2-0, grooves in 97. The dude's a freak. And his cutter is crazy because his cutter is what he calls it. It's 93. If he throws it high, it's a cutter. I think it carries. If it's belt, if he starts it at the belt, it is a wipeout DeGrom slider at 92. Like, it's just an absolute get there banger. So he throws 2 pitches with that thing, and they're both extremely effective, and no one can hit him.
He's 33 in all baseball.
Number 8 right-handed pitcher as well.
I generally don't know how you keep him out of the big leagues at this point if he keeps doing this. Like, he's yeah. I understand the Rays, they want to get your prime years, which, you know, he's 20. He's not in his prime years. Well, his 20 year old season is better than a lot of people in their primes at this point. He's very, very good.
Yeah. I saw on MLB.com it said his ETA is 2023. And I know there's only 2 months or so left of the season. But that seems very late right now, you know?
Especially, like, with some unknowns and the starters of the Rays, the injury-wise, they're a playoff team. I mean, they have the third-best record in the AL somehow. Everybody's acting like the world's falling, but they have third-best record. And Taj is a guy that can I will say this with 100% certainty. Taj would help them in the postseason.
That's I said that. I said I don't know if he'll make a start in the regular season this year, but – if the Rays get a wild card spot or they find a way to if they're
they'll definitely playoffs, get a wild card shot.
Yeah. Spot, if they're in the playoffs, I think Taj pitches. Even if
I agree.
If it's like McClanahan did,
his stuff is so good he can come out of the bullpen easily.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did with McClanahan, and the next year he came out and he was a starter.
And one inning of Taj is not fun for any lineup. I promise. He's going to be 97 to 100. Out of the pen, hey, I don't know how hard he'll be throwing, but he'll be 97 to 100, throwing his cutter slider at whatever it is at 90 to 92. And I've seen it firsthand. That's why I can speak on this. There was – the thing about Taj was in Charleston, I knew who Taj was. He's from Georgia. I'd never actually seen him play. I knew he was super young. We graduated the same year, but he's like – borderline 2 years younger than me. His first outing, he struggled. His first 2 outings, like, and I mean struggled, he gave up a lot of runs. And so you kind of – it's weird how baseball works. When somebody kind of struggles at the beginning of the season, it's tough to shake that image because at the beginning of the season, you're so locked in. You're trying to figure everybody out. You see them struggle, and then that's kind of stuck with you for a while. Well, I remember we were sitting in the bullpen, like probably about a month and a half later, Taj gone 5 shutout, and I'm like, dude, Taj hadn't given up a run in like a month, I swear on my life. Like, just kind of joking around. And then we like actually look, and we're like, he's got like a 2.5. He gave up 8 runs his first outing. When did this happen? And then after that, no hit him for the rest of the year, and no one's hit him since. So something clicked. I don't know what it was,
but he is now unhittable, and he's a big leaguer. So hopefully we'll see him there soon.
Yeah, we've had, as you can tell, we've had a lot of solid players on this podcast so far. Hopefully get a lot more. But I'll tell you what the solid players are wearing and what they're using. They're using this right here, pitchersonly.com. It's the brand for pitchers. Use code DNR10 to get 10% off of everything, including this flag. It's an awesome brand, awesome folks. Started by a dad and a son. The most American baseball store you can think of. They got awesome thing, awesome shirts. Some obviously I mentioned the flag, different stuff like that. Check it out. Great birthday present. Great stuff if you just need some gear. Who doesn't need a couple more t-shirts? I definitely do. I already purchased it. The short sleeve hoodie I always talk about, that's from them. Definitely check them out. And when you do, use code DNR10 for 10% off of all your orders. I don't know who's next on the show, but coming into the second half of the year, we got to close strong. So we definitely have some guys in the works that we're going to get on here and get talking. Maybe some guys from different countries. Curtis has still somehow escaped us. I don't know how we haven't had him on yet.
Yeah, he's got to be on.
Yeah, we'll definitely have Curtis on soon. He's a character. You might not be able to understand what he says, but
it'll be funny, most likely.
Curtis, it was funny because in spring training, I remember I was talking to, I forget which coach it was, and you know, he was talking about Curtis. He's like, yeah, we traded for him from the Phillies. He's really, really good. Well, the first game I played with him, he made like three errors and struck out. I'm like, this dude stinks. Like, I was like, I get he's super young and all, but I don't know about this. And in the last game of spring training, I think I've talked about it on here before. Last game of spring training, we're at the Braves place, and he hit one of the furthest balls I've ever seen hit.
I was like,
okay, he's got some juice.
Yeah,
that ball I just thought he was like a big juice guy, like probably strikes out a lot. He'll hit 30 bombs. No, he hits 30 bombs, but then he also hits three.
And he strikes 20. Out 8% of the time.
Yeah, he's a good hitter.
He doesn't strike
really, out. Really, really, really good hitter. By like a month into the season, I was like, okay, this guy might be the best hitter I've ever played with.
Yeah.
He's that good.
He might be the best hitter I've ever played with.
Yeah, he can really, really swing it. But, man, it was a good first half of the year. They're doing the playoffs weird this year for minor league baseball. It's
how it's always been.
It is how it's always been?
Yeah, so you have the season split into halves. So let's take the Southern League, for example, because the lookouts are in the Southern League. Rocket City won the first half in one division. And
yeah, because they were popping champagne bottles. After a game against the Biscuits. That's how I saw it. And they're in their locker room. I have a couple guys on Snapchat from there, and they're freaking popping bottles and stuff. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, what is the season over? And so I go check like what's happening, and it's the playoff rule that I really was never familiar with. I just figured it was the top two teams by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's literally split into halves. So like, if you win the first half, you get a playoff berth. If you win the second half, you get a playoff berth. So like, Rocket City and Pensacola both won the first half in their division. So like, say Birmingham wins the first half or the second half, so they would play Rocket City in a series. The winner of that plays the winner of Pensacola and whoever, and that's the championship. So,
yeah, which it does make sense though, because Schnelly, what percent of people do you think start on a team and stay on a team?
Yeah, 50. I'd say it's 50%.
You think it's? I don't even know if it's that high.
No, last year it wasn't that high, but this year I think it's like 50. Like last year. Last year was completely different. Our whole last year was literally probably 80%.
Well, I thought there's about to be some more movement with the draft guys coming.
Yeah, there might be.
You're facing two completely different teams in the first half and the second half. So it does make sense to do it that way.
It's crazy. Myrtle Beach and Charleston, we had the two best records in all of minor league baseball, and they beat us by half a game. And so they got the berth, and we now are three games back or two games back, and we have to win the second half to make the playoffs. But our overall record is like either the best or like second best in all of my leagues for the whole year.
I guess that is where you can get shot. So does it So is Myrtle Beach taken out of the second half? Like they're not.
Yeah, like if they win it, it's whoever's.
Yeah. If they win it, it's whoever. Yeah.
That'd be kind of a sick rule if it was. If you win both, then you just get a bye into the championship.
Yeah, that would be sick.
That would be sick.
I don't know, but it wouldn't help. Byes in baseball are not that cool, to be honest. Especially like a period of byes, because then your pitchers are just not throwing to hitters. And as a pitcher, like bye weeks, that would hurt me way more than it would help me.
Yeah.
A whole week off of not facing hitters would suck. That's 2 weeks. Yeah, the minor league playoffs are kind of sick. But I saw a hilarious format. I'm trying to remember who it was on Twitter. A big baseball personality on Twitter. They were saying that college, summer league, the playoffs should be if you win, you get to go home. So the loser the loser keeps having to play, which is exactly how college summer ball should be. That would be I promise you, people would be on the fence pulling on their guys if that's how the format was.
That's awesome.
College summer ball is awesome in a sense of
nobody wants to be there.
It's a huge break from the college season, which is school, it's practice, lifting, all that. Very little lifting is done for the most part in most players. Obviously, the games are not high intense. They're just super laid back, and you don't have a coach breathing down your throat with every waking moment. And you get to meet a lot of cool guys. Summer ball sucks in the sense that you just played a full season of college baseball, and now you're playing in the summer. There's literally – like minor leagues is a grind, but at least we get 4 months off. College baseball is year-round. And so college summer ball, you're just like, I seriously hope we lose. That would be the best format. I'll tell you who will do it. The Coastal Plains League will probably end up doing it, which would be awesome.
That'd be electric.
I think that – and then the last game is just straight Tulip Bowl. And then I don't know what you do after that. I don't know what the winner gets there. You got to shift an award there. I guess the losing team gets a toilet or something. I don't know, but that format would be straight. That'd be must see baseball, in all honesty. Shell, who y'all got this week?
We have.
Are you at home?
It's down east, isn't it?
Yeah, down east at home. We should.
The only reason I know that is because my dad is so wrapped into Nick Schnell's professional baseball career.
Yeah,
I was like, dude, Schnelly just roped a double to the backside.
Heck yeah.
Two runs.
Heck yeah. The Down East Wood Ducks. That's a good name. Seven seed on the bracket.
Yeah, they should be the freaking Down East Gnats, because when you go to Down East and play, the bugs absolutely destroy you.
That used to be Savannah's name. There was the Savannah Sand Gnats.
Yeah, I remember that.
When they were the Mets.
Which makes sense. They're gonna say, yeah. I'm trying to think of my strategy for live BP tomorrow. I'm thinking,
are you throwing everything?
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna throw many sliders though. I think I'm just gonna do three or four. Listen, for me, the slider's there. I could not throw it for a full year, and I could come back and it's there. I just know how to throw it. I've thrown it my whole life. I feel like I can throw it for a strike. When I'm missing with my fastball, I'll throw a slider to get back in the groove.
Is Paulson talking shit or what?
No, he's just scared to face Mikey again.
Yeah. Has he been nasty?
He threw once, and he faced Paulson three times and struck him out three times. But what's
Paulson
funny is
– also hasn't seen live pitching.
But he's getting upset. So Dylan Paulson's a guy who blew up his knee, for those of you who don't know, last year. I mean, everything in his knee. Yeah, literally everything.
Like everything.
He's had like four procedures since. And so a year later, he's back to hitting live BP as of like last week. And he's getting real upset that his timing's off. He said, my swing feels great, my timing's off. I'm like, oh, gee, wonder why your timing's off. But, yeah, we're roommates. I'm facing tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. My buzz is tower. I told him I was going to hit him in the knee. I was going to throw a slider right off the front of his knee tomorrow and see how he likes that. I don't know, but speaking of Mikey York, shout out to him. He's been rehabbing with me pretty much all year. First live BP back, I kid you not, a breaking ball on the first pitch. After a full year of rehab, breaking ball, first pitch.
What, he just didn't want whoever it was swinging first?
And it was a ball. He threw it. It was a ball. He went first pitch breaking ball for a ball after rehab. It was the funniest part was getting the reactions of so Doc Watson, who speaking of Doc, I'll finish with a story on Doc that you haven't heard, Schnelly. It's the greatest story of all time. So Doc is behind the L screen behind the pitcher. Ryan Sleggers, who has big league time.
Aaron
Sleggers, yeah. Why did I say Ryan?
Former lookout too.
Yeah, Aaron Sleggers and Cody Reed are all behind the L screen. They're watching Mikey. He snaps off the first pitch breaking ball, and you'd have thought somebody shot Cody. He was like, oh, my. Was that a breaking ball? And Mikey was, like, laughing. He was like, no way. I did not just watch that. And they're like, they couldn't stop talking about it the whole rest of the day. Cody was like, dude, I'm telling you, in my pitching coaches, I forget which team. He's played for, like, 12 teams. He's like, my pitching coach, wherever, he said, he told me to get the hell off the mound. He said, you're not serious. He said, you're not in your right mind. And he couldn't believe it. They could not stop talking about it. It was cracking me up.
What was Mikey saying?
He was just laughing. Was like, I said I was going to do it. It's like, I guess you followed through. Yeah, first pitch bender. And the funniest part was they kept saying, and it was a ball. He even thought for a strike. First pitch breaking ball for a ball. But it's better than Shea Smitty also rehabbing all year. They threw his first live BP back. Obviously, grooves a fastball in there for his first one, and dude puts it in the pond and admires it. I was like, bro, you just hit a home run off a guy, off a dude throwing his first pitch in a year. You got to take that. The pitch, bro.
What happened?
Shea's first pitch back after TJ. Dude put it in the pond.
Who was it?
And pimped it. I don't know. One of the younger guys. Big old dude. But it was funny
because Latin American?
Yeah. God, what's his name?
Castillo?
Maybe.
Or
it's not Caminero.
Was it Marino?
Yes, that's exactly what it was. God. He's huge.
Yeah,
he's huge. He is an
NFL middle linebacker.
Yes, every bit of it. And he absolutely nuked it and admired it. And it kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, afterwards, I was like, you know what?
He probably take it.
He had no idea.
Pitch.
He had absolutely no idea it was the first pitch back. Somebody should have told him.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to tell him there, like, hey, this is first pitch back.
What did Shea say? Shea probably just was like,
nah, he just shook it off.
Yeah, he didn't
care. He just shook it off. But it was funny. It was funny. Possum was sitting there next to him when he threw it, and he's like, this might go in the pond. Boom! I was like, oh, no. I was like, please hit the fence. Please hit the fence. First pitch, it was like 88 down the middle. Yeah. Cranked it. All right, we'll end on this. Actually, before we go, Schnell, tell us about Hit Factory.
Hit Factory, they got everything you need. Position players, go on to hitfactoryapparel.com or go on to their Instagram, hitfactory, and go to the link in their bio and check out their gear. They got everything you need. You need a sleeve for the season, they got you. You need an elbow guard for the season, they got you. You need if you're going into the off season and you know all your stuff's beat up, you need a leg guard because you're going to be hitting off the machine and you don't want to hit a ball off your shin, get you a leg guard. And then they also just, if you're a ball player and you go want a bunch of stuff that is baseball themed, they got a bunch of really cool shirts. Cole, I believe, has one on right now. So you guys can,
I do.
When we pan back, you guys can check out Cole's shirt. I cannot find mine because I am disorganized. But
the Hit Factor.
Check out their stuff. DNR 10, 10% off. Check them out.
Speaking of disorganized, I left my club at the previous hole twice yesterday.
Ah,
I freaking hate when I do that, and I had to go back twice in one round. It's because I four putted. That's why.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're rattled. Was
rattled. Yeah, both of them. Yeah, completely rattled. Anyway. So, Doc Watson, he's been around the game forever. This guy's awesome, actually. He's a rehab guy now. He is I don't think I'm going to be able to look him up, Doc Watson. Dog's down here. So, we got two of the oldest guys on the Rays doing rehab, but those guys know what they're freaking doing. So, it's been nice to have them around. They've helped me out a lot. Doc, I'm not going to get the exact years right, so keep that in mind. But
I found him.
This guy Are you sure? Because there's an old Doc Watson that plays.
What?
Like a really old.
Is his name Steve Watson?
I'm not sure what it is. That's what I don't know what it's actually. I've only called him Doc the whole time I've known him. Doc had he had played for a while in the minors. He had retired, let's just say, in 1987. Let's say he retired in 1987. It was at least four or five years. And he was pitching in he was coaching in Chattanooga. Shook.
I found him, Steve Watson.
What year did he retire?
Minor league stats.
This will make it even better. Find the year that he stopped playing, and there's a giant gap, and then there's another outing that I'm about to tell you about.
1978.
And then when was his next outing?
I'm trying to find it.
It might not be on his baseball reference page.
It's not on there, though.
But he played 77, 78, right? Like, that was consecutive
okay,
years.
Okay, hold on. Is this him?
So here's what happened.
Okay, 1984 was his last year, and then he threw in 1990.
Yep, okay. So 1984, he retires from baseball. He's now the pitching coach for the Chattanooga Lookouts. They didn't have a pitcher that night. Something happened. I don't know what happened. They were short on pitching or something. Doc Watson gets the ball and goes three innings, 6 years removed from playing baseball. Starts for the Lookouts and pitches three innings. See, 6 years later. And somebody asked him about it the other day, and all he said was, "Hey, man, sometimes you got to do what you got to do." He goes on to the next thing.
Seven hits.
Yeah, he got rocked.
Six runs, three earned runs, two walks, two strikeouts, one hit by pitch, one wild pitch.
Can you imagine getting punched out by a freaking six-year-old? Six years retired.
He's still the pitching coach then.
He was done playing when he was 23, and then when he was 29 when he had that outing.
Yeah. Yep. I was cracking up when I heard the story. Then his response to it was, "Got to do what you got to do." Just like that's it was just awesome. The most simple question ever. Went into no detail, and that was it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I was cracking up. Awesome story. I respect the guy even more now. So that's the show for today. A little different. I hope you guys liked it. Had to check first half of the year, had to check it in. But got a lot of stuff coming up, like we said. Appreciate y'all guys listening. If you're not subscribed, please do so. Don't be afraid to hit the stars. Give us a rating. But we appreciate you guys, like we said. Been really fun doing this and hope to have a lot more coming. But as always, have a great week. Stay sparkling.